Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Pacific Northwest on a wintry, blustery day. I'm Diane McClay, the Diane McClay Show, and I am so excited to be here with you in the middle of February, just before Valentine's Day. Today, I have my friend and a guest, Chris Natsky, who's an eighth degree black belt master instructor. He's also a former Taekwondo champion. And if you wanted to know, he ranks in the top 1% of all martial artists in the world. He is a life leadership coach, keynote speaker, and author of the new book, Breaking Through, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And he shares his unique brand of black belt leadership with you and other people to help them remove the obstacles from their way and break through to what they want. Chris, welcome in.
Thanks, Diane. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm so happy that we inadvertently bumped into each other through a mutual friend, Nikki Gangemi. And when you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, we just hit it off and we couldn't stop talking. And one of the things that we both kind of nerded out about was just our origin of words. And for our listening audience at home, you can see that I have the words choice and courage over my left and right shoulder. And we kind of bonded over that that courage piece. What we're going to be talking about today is kind of how people can break through, what happens when they sort of meet some resistance, whether it's the system giving it to them or maybe themselves. We're going to talk about some of your tips about how people can create their own strategies to pivot a little bit. But let's talk about courage a little bit, because you lit my eyes up when you gave me the origin of the word. Can you speak to that real quick?
Well, absolutely. You know, I kind of geek out on etymology, which is the origin of words. And I can't say that I found this on my own. It was one of my teachers that taught me this, but he asked an audience, I heard him ask an audience, have you ever taken high school French or Spanish? And of course, the hands go up. And then he said, well, do you know what the word for heart is in Spanish or in French? And it's corazón in Spanish, I understand. And it's cœur in French. That's what I took. And so he made the connection of cœur. Courage, that courage that we have literally comes from our heart. And I've never forgotten that. And it served me well throughout the years of my own life when I've had to kind of, you know, dig in deep and find some courage.
You know, we've already had this conversation, but I totally just got goosebumps right when you said that. And I took my own liberty of looking up a little bit more of the word. And in the 1300s, it was known as courage, heart, or the seat of emotion. Hence the spirit, the temperament, the state of mind, or the state of frame. And then from the old French, going off of what you said, courage, heart, innermost feelings or temper. And then from the late Latin, cœur, as you mentioned in quarters, heart in French and Spanish. And I think it's really important when we talk about courage. A lot of people think that it's just like they don't have it. And my personal belief is I think everybody has it. And especially with this new definition, that it really speaks to your spirit, your temperament, your state of mind. Let's go into that a little bit. What have you experienced with your clients in terms of them discovering courage or realizing there's more there, especially in the martial arts?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and it's almost like it might even seem a little overused, but you know, it's often been said that courage is not the lack of fear. It's having fear and taking action anyway. You know, that's certainly something that gets played out in the martial arts. I mean, just going from one belt to another, so to speak, takes a lot of courage, because where else in our life do we have to stand in front of a panel of judges and perform? So there's a lot of pressure in and of that itself. But I'll tell you what, when I work with my clients, sometimes that's just the one step that gets them going, which is to realize that, first of all, I think oftentimes we think we're the only ones that are fearful, right? Like everybody else has got it going. And when you realize that other people are dealing with the same stuff, but you know, the people that got where you want to go, they just took the first step, then they took the next one and the next one, and pretty soon they got where they needed to go.
You know, and that was one thing that when I looked you up on internet, you had a nice little 3-minute video that you kind of titled Project versus Problem. And you talk about, can you speak real quick to 4 things if you want to get to the next step, if you're meeting some resistance, can you kind of share with the audience what you came up with, 4 steps that work both in the martial arts ring as well as career shifting or personal strategy?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the thing of it is that I basically now in my work use martial arts as a metaphor for life. And so what that means is I believe all of us have those inherent qualities. I was able to find them myself and help others find them through the martial arts, but you don't need to spend, you know, 4 decades kicking and punching in order to get these lessons. We can have them now. But the distinction that I was making in that is the idea that many times what we do is when we have a problem, if you will, we look at it as this thing to be overcome and we start to tighten up about it and it gets us almost frozen in action because it can be so overwhelming. But think about the last time you had a project, particularly a project that you enjoyed doing. You got excited about doing it. And so some of the things I know that I shared in that article was about breaking it down. I mean, we oftentimes look at things in their holistic aspect and they become overwhelming. But what I encourage my clients and I attempt to do in my own life is to, you know, chunk it down, break, you know, begin with the end in mind, but break it down. And so like I teach my students that my younger students is, how do you eat an elephant? Well, you do it one bite at a time, right? And, you know, and they all kind of look at me, but then they start to get it. And so there's so many things around that we don't do. And then it's also about learning to take the next right step, right? The next right step. And, you know, and it may not be 10 steps. It's just that first one that then leads to the next one, then leads to the next one. And I think it's also always really important to have people that encourage us along the way. I mean, people that we can lean on and that hold us capable, not necessarily accountable, but hold us capable for our actions and where we want to go. So
I like that concept of holding us capable. That's why I have a media coach with the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. It's why I'm connecting with you, is that when we can have capacity. First of all, we have other people who can help us understand how we can fill ourselves up, if you look at capacity in that way. But we also have people who can say, can you do a little bit more? Can you punch a little harder? Can you strive a little bit more? But I think the other thing too is it's about choice. And that's one of my primary pillars that I work with my clients on, is I have a very firm belief that sometimes we may not know what the right choice is or the wrong choice. And often society says we have to have a good or a bad decision, a right or wrong decision. And I think sometimes there's just a decision. Sometimes the one decision you need to make is to get enough information to make the next decision. And that kind of parallels with your make your one step and then make your next step.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's there's 2 things that come to mind when you say that, is not taking action is a choice as well.
Exactly.
Right. And many times we get caught in that. And then getting back into my geekiness and etymology, the word decision means to cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, I don't know if you, I'm sure you've had this experience, Diane, is where, you know, you labor over a decision and then you finally make that decision and then things just start to open up. And, you know, oftentimes we sit back and go, well, why did I wait so long? If I would have known this, it would have been an easy decision. But that's part of the life adventure, right?
Right.
Is being able to make that decision without knowing where it's going to be going.
Right. And in your first step, you talk about the problem is you talk about recognizing what's happening in the moment. And I think that's just having the sense of calm and clarity to just stop and look around you, assess the situation. You know, I used to be a park ranger and I teach my clients something called assess, prioritize, and act. You know, if you have multiple things going on at the same time, multiple deadlines at work, multiple demands on your time, moms and dads do it all the time if they're raising kids and trying to have a job and get food on the table, is that they assess the situation. What is the most urgent thing that has to happen right now? And then they take care of that and they prioritize it. Okay, this can wait 5 minutes or this can wait an hour, or if this doesn't get done, the world isn't going to end. So they assess, they prioritize, and then they take action. That action is kind of your 4 step, is it's meaningful, inspired action.
Yeah.
So let's jump a little bit to your book that I have highlighted over my
wonderful
shoulder, because those are some points you speak about in that. So your new book, Breaking Through It, just dropped on Amazon on January 18th, right?
That's correct.
Right. And why did you write the book? I know it's your second, but what, tease it out without giving away everything in the book.
Right. Well, the origin of the book is one of the things that I am blessed to be able to do in the corporate world is to go to companies and do a corporate board breaking experience. So what I do is I take people through this process of helping them identify a breakthrough they want to experience in their life. They literally write it on one end of the board. Thank you very much. And then on the other side of the board, they write the limiting belief or beliefs that have been holding them back. And so people, you know, they feedback to me, they've had great experience when they break this piece of wood because it acts as that powerful metaphor. But I often wondered when they left that experience with me, did they actually have their breakthrough? The things that they said they really want to get done, and not because they didn't want it or they didn't have the passion, but maybe they didn't understand the path. So what I did is I broke down, there's 10 steps in there on how to, if you have a vision, you know, starting with what you really want to create, all the way down to some basic practices that you can do in your life each and every day. Because, you know, like they say in athletics, you know, the best way to get in shape is to stay in shape. Well, the best way to stay ready for breakthroughs is to constantly keep ourselves sharp. So I basically take people through that process, and it's hopefully going to serve some people. That's my intention.
Right. So for the listeners, they can get that on Amazon or they can go to your website.
Absolutely.
And they can, but it's Breaking Through, 3 Winning Strategies to Create Breakthrough Results in Your Life, Business, and Your Relationships. So I got the book. I haven't started it yet. Well, I thumbed through it, but I'm super excited because I feel like when you talk about 3 things in there, having a purposeful vision, having persistence, you know, and you say conscious persistence, really engaging your mind in consistency. The final one is really having inspired action. And I teach that to my clients as well, that you can't change anything until you have awareness. But once you have awareness, you can start creating options and choices, but where the metal meets the road, so to speak, the rubber meets the road, is that you take action. And then you take meaningful action and you keep taking inspired action after that. You want to speak a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of my favorites because, you know, I joke when I do my keynote talk that there's 3 types of people in this world. There's those that make things happen. There's those that watch things happen. And then there's those that look around and say, what just happened? Right? So, you know, it's one of those things. And many times people think that it has to be this massive over the top action. And sometimes that does serve, but I found it's about taking that consistent, inspired action over a extended period of time. That's when you build, because good habits, they don't add up, they compound.
Right.
So when we continue to have those practices and take those meaningful actions, inspired action each and every day, after a while, you look back 6 months, you're like, wow, I can't believe where I got, but it didn't happen in an instant. Right.
Right. And that's kind of what you mean when you talk about sharing your brand of black belt leadership too, right? I mean, in order to advance through a specific skill set or a series or from one belt to another or to become a master, there that mindset and that courage, if we go back to the innermost feelings and mindset, that's what you mean by your black belt leadership, right?
Absolutely. And we have a saying in martial arts is that a black belt is a white belt that never quit. White
wow.
belt being the first,
okay.
You know, the first belt. And, you know, I often share that I have about 1200 students right now that have received their black belt with me. And I can think of only 2 that when I first met them, they had every skill necessary to have their black belt: focus, concentration, strength, flexibility, et cetera. But yet another 1198 got it. And that's because they got to the point where they had a victory and then it built on another and they just kept showing up. And I think life is that way as well.
You know, I would totally agree with you. And I think that that's what we mean when we talk about meeting some resistance or things not going your way, or maybe even the system, whether it's government or yourself or society kind of holding you back. But it's that getting back up and going at it again and trying to find a different way. So what's kind of, we talked about that your quote, we titled the show Stubborn, right, but right. Flexible. And I was like, ooh, that was amazing. So right. Let's tie that in a little bit, being
absolutely.
Stubborn, but being flexible and then using that across all parts of life. When things don't go our way, when we're not happy, just the setup of the world is not great for us. let's talk about being stubborn and how that serves us, and then being flexible and how it serves us, and finish the quote for me.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, it all came from a quote that I got from one of my good friends also in the martial arts world. And he said, we need to be stubborn in our goals, but flexible in our methods. Stubborn in our goals, but flexible in our methods. And I thought about that, particularly as we look at what happened in COVID, right? I mean, all of us, we had this discussion. I needed to pivot in my business. You needed to do the same in yours. And I actually was giving a talk to a group of real estate professionals back in November. And as I was getting ready for the talk, the event planner called me and said, you know, something I'd really like you to share is that, you know, many of my people are, I hear them talk about the fact that, hey, if we just hold on until things get back to normal, we'll be okay. And she said, I don't know if they ever are.
And so it's not going to be the same normal.
Right. It's not going to be the same. So what are we going to do about that? And I literally just left a meeting before I came out here with a group of fellow coaches, and we hadn't seen each other in some cases a year and a half. And each one was talking about their COVID experience, but every one of us had a story on how we pivoted in our lives and our businesses. And in many ways, those pivots opened up new businesses, new opportunities. And I think that's just a really important concept for all of us to understand, is that there's always going to be a nugget of hope and expansion and newness in any kind of challenge we have. And it's not always easy to see, but when we get it, we know it, and that's what can be transformational for us.
I totally agree. And I think when we kind of talk about the origin of courage, you know, the seat of emotions, if we can learn to start to make a habit out of looking for the opportunity, looking for the lesson, looking for what is being offered to us in, you know, whenever there's something that doesn't work according to plan, you know, as a kid, this might date me a little bit, but as a kid, my dad and I would watch the A-Team together. And my dad's favorite line, and I love it too, is when Hannibal Lecter, you know, it's the end of the show and he lights a cigar and he says, I love it when a plan comes together. But he's literally the whole show is about him adapting. He makes the plan up and then something goes wrong. And because they have different specialists in the show, they change the plan. And by the end of the show, the plan has changed 3 or 4 times. And yet at the end, he still loves it when a plan, in quotes, comes together. And that speaks to that flexibility, you know, being committed to the goal. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. And I'd also add that I'd encourage your listeners to think back about some of the things that they're proudest about accomplishing in their lives. And I can almost guarantee to a person that every one of them feels the most pride about the things that they accomplished after going through a struggle or having to readjust and use those types of skills. I mean, if you go from point A to point Z, you have a huge win. That's nice, but it's the time when you got to really test your mettle. Those are the things you remember for a lifetime.
Right. Exactly. You know, I remember more about failing my math class in college twice than I do about some of my other college right. classes, totally. You know, and I think that it's about that sense of resilience too, right? It's like getting back up off the mat, you know, it's about stepping in and saying, okay, one more time, what else can I do? So let's talk a little bit about, I love nature. I've got some turkey feathers behind me. It's something that when I feel confused, when I feel like I don't have a sense of direction or I just need some inspiration, I'm very fortunate to live in the Pacific Northwest where I can just pop out my door and boom, it's there. So let's talk a little bit about, I know you've done a lot of world traveling, and Jacob, if you could roll those photos for me, tell me the lesson, tell the listeners a little bit about the El Camino story, what you observed and what was the take home for it. And we got a couple minutes here, and then I want to make sure we speak to your next thing that's coming up.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I shared with you that back in 2014, and I had been inspired probably about 10, 15 years before this to walk the Camino de Santiago, which is a 500-mile trek across northern Spain. And I won't share the story right now about how I got there, but I finally went on that and I did it by myself. And there were plenty of pilgrims, that's what they're called, peregrinos, to do with me. But one of the things that's always said about the Camino is that the way you do the Camino is most likely how you're doing life. And I have to admit, the first 2 weeks takes about 4 weeks to do it, walked about 17, 18 miles a day. And the first 2 weeks, I was really addressing it like an athletic challenge. get up early in the morning, get my 20 miles in, blah, 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 you know, and just do my thing. And I had an experience where I was walking through a village one morning and something caught my eye and it said, refuge for the peregrinos. And I started to walk inside and then I immediately stopped because I thought it was a tourist trap. So then I got off and I went on my way. Well, the next day I was invited to dinner with a group of friends. And as we were sitting around dinner, one of them, a man from San Francisco, said, hey, let's share about our greatest experience on the Camino. He goes, let me start. He goes, did anyone see the refuge for the peregrinos? I went in there the other day. They played soft music. They gave me cookies. They gave me tea. I sat there for 2 hours. It was the best thing I did the whole trip. And I think I shared with you, I felt like Fred Flintstone. You know, I'm dating myself now, but when he gets embarrassed and I just shrunk. And I realized that I had been letting all these experiences pass by. And so that was one of my main lessons from the Camino, is to slow it down so I could literally see what was going on. And when I made that decision, my whole experience changed.
And do you feel like when you slowed down so you could see what was going on around you, did it also alter you and how you go through life or how you absorb life when you came back from Spain? And can you speak to a lesson that you might apply to your business or your family from that?
I totally will. And in fact, I speak about it now when I do my keynoting, is that I realize that we get at such a pace. We think that the busier we are, the more productive we'll be. And what I realize is that by slowing down, we oftentimes will speed up our productivity because we're more present, we're more intentional. And, you know, like super coach Steve Chandler says, the busyness is the sure sign of laziness. Many times we just get so busy in our lives because we think now we're showing we're doing something and we're avoiding the things that are most important. So when we slow down, we can become much more intentional. And now we're focusing on the big things, the big rocks, if you will, than all the other distractions.
Right. I agree. And I'm going to repeat that again. The way you do the Camino is the way you do everything. I've also heard it say the way you do one thing in the United States is the way you do others.
Absolutely.
And for me, slowing down, you know, it's that taking time to go to nature. I know the other photo we're showing is of you and your son. I'm not quite sure where that is.
That's actually in Ireland.
Okay.
So that's at the Cliffs of Moher.
Okay.
And my youngest son, Jason, did his master's degree in Galway, Ireland, back in, I guess that would be 2019, 2018.
Okay.
So that's my trip over there to visit him. And we spent a lot of time in nature out there as well.
Well, and then there's the flip, and we don't have time to tell the listeners the whole entire story, but you, your origin was that you were super busy in a big drug company, and now you're at a point where your life allows you to travel and allows you to spend time with family in the way that you want to.
Yeah.
We've got about 3 minutes left, so I want to make sure that people know how to find you, and then could you also share, there's a really exciting collaboration that you're doing with our friend Nikki Gangemi on the 25th of February, is that right?
That's
so
correct.
Can you speak to how people can find you and your book? And then can you speak to that new thing and how people can find that? And we'll post it on my site when we get to
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. So first, anyone can reach me at my website, which is www.chrisnatzke.com. That's C-H-R-I-S, N as in Navy, A-T, Z as in Zebra, K-E.com. And if they go on there, they can see all my programs. There's a downloadable free report if they want to look at the top 10 big ideas to move through breakthroughs in their lives. You get my books there, see all my programs, et cetera. And then this event that I'm collaborating with Nikki, which is basically how you and I met, Diane, which is awesome. Also, Phil Pinto and my good friend, Tom Ginn. And we put together something we're calling the Science of Success series. And so each one of us are coaches, and we're going to be coming with our own point of view on how to, you know, have greater vision in our life, prosperity, and really dynamic leadership. And each one will be sharing an individual message. There'll be Q&A. And I'm sure you've got the link right there, the e-bite, where they can get on that. And we're really looking forward to not only do this once on the 25th, from I've got 10 a.m. to noon Mountain Time. So I guess that's 9 to 11 Pacific for you. And to really give people an opportunity to not only experience us in this way, but we're looking to do several of these throughout the year to really help give people that, you know, that shot of B12, right? So
right.
That we can move into this year really powerfully.
Right. So people can find that. I'm not sure if we have the link up right now, but I'll have it at the end of my show and people can find that on my website as well, dianemaclay.com. But that's going to be called Science of Success. And that's going to be a really great opportunity for people to get in and speak to three different coaches on how they can move forward and break down the resistance in their life. We've got about a minute left. Any parting words, any last ahas for our audience before I sign us off for the day and go back into the wintry blizzardy land of the Pacific Northwest?
Well, you know, we've already talked about it a little bit, but it's about being present. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things I mentioned before, you talked about assessing the situation. Do your very best not to just assess the situation, but get clear on what's really happening. Because so many times we bring stories into things. And when we can do that, slow down and look at things for what they really are, we know in our minds and in our hearts what the next steps are. And I just say, follow that and you'll be great.
Right. And I want to echo that. So get clear on what's happening, but also get clear on what wants to happen. Sometimes Yes. We get so focused on, you know, what we think the end result is and we miss what's happening in the middle, like your Santiago, your Camino story. So will you come back? I'm loving our conversations. When we get the studio audience up and running, will you come back so that we can speak to our guests in person and help them out?
Absolutely, Diane. I'd love to.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks again for being here. We got to wrap this up for today. I'm Diane McClay with the Diane McClay Show. You can find us live on the Transformation Talk Radio website on the second and fourth Friday at 1:30 Pacific time in the afternoon. I'm with the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group, and we are super excited to bring in the live studio audience. The next time we'll be on the air, check back with us. But as always, I've got you and I know you can do it. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.